This is KERA. I'm Sam Baker. High schools and universities have begun workouts for football. Blows to the head and overall body involved in the sport can lead to a concussion. That's treatable, but the approach has changed over the years. I talk about this in today's Vital Signs with Dr. Erin Reynolds of Baylor Scott & White Sports Concussion Program.
15 years ago, we were telling people to go home, stay in the dark, don't get out of bed until you feel better, avoid all activity. In some pockets of our country, that's still being done. But we now know that keeping someone in the dark for prolonged periods of time not only doesn't help the brain to recover, but as human beings, it makes us feel worse. If you were told to go home and lay in bed, maybe for a day you could do it, but after that you start to have mood changes and your sleep schedule is disrupted. So we try to get people back to their normal activities as soon as possible without making them feel sick. And so for every person, that's going to look very different. We know that there are different profiles or subtypes of concussion. Not everyone is going to feel motion sick. Not everyone's going to have migraine headaches. Not everyone's going to have mood changes. The treatment has to reflect what the individual is experiencing.
How do you arrive at the right treatment for someone?
In my work, we use a team approach. I'm a clinical psychologist with specialty training in neuropsychology, which is the relationship between the brain and behavior. And I work very closely with a sports medicine physician. And we both work very closely with our physical therapist, who is fellowship trained in neurologic physical therapy. We're all involved in that process because we all see things through a different lens. And then step two is making sure that the actual evaluation is comprehensive. We use a three-tiered approach in our evaluations, talking to the patient and understanding what he or she is experiencing. We use computer-based neurocognitive testing. If this is a brain injury, we need to be assessing their cognitive functioning throughout the recovery. And then we use a tool called the vestibular ocular motor screen to evaluate head and eye movements. And then we can develop a treatment plan.
Is treatment for a concussion at all invasive? Does it require surgery or anything like that?
Now, the treatments would be physical therapy. Some patients do wind up needing medication, especially those who are having chronic headaches or some mood changes or sleep changes. And then the rest is working with folks to modify their day-to-day activities to accommodate their symptoms. So we don't expect anyone to get through the day with no symptoms. They have to learn to tolerate them on a certain level. But we also teach them how to expose themselves to environments that are going to produce some symptoms and then allow themselves to recover from that. It's called an exposure recovery model.
How do you know when someone is truly recovered?
At this point, it's clinical decision making. We want to make sure they're symptom free. You are able to get through a full day of normal activity, whether that's school or work, with absolutely no provocation of symptoms. And then the next stage is getting someone active. Athletes, specifically kids in Texas that play sports for the UIL, they will go through a five-stage return to play protocol that essentially takes them from day one, very low-level activity. So maybe riding a stationary bike for 15 minutes and then seeing if they have any symptoms. All the way to stage five, someone's able to fully exert themselves and remain consistently asymptomatic through that process, that's when we would determine they're safe to go back to play.
Even though a concussion is nothing to take lightly, are people perhaps more worried about concussions than they need to be?
A lot of the old school culture, especially around sports like football, is that you don't want to acknowledge the concussion because that means that kid's about to lose half of their season or the whole season. And if that kid gets the right treatment, that shouldn't be the case. So I think that there's still a lot of work to do in terms of educating parents and athletes. I think we need to start educating kids a little bit younger. So maybe hitting them in late elementary school age with this information. Having these conversations is important at every level of play, just so that the awareness is there and it's the right type of awareness.
Dr. Reynolds, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Sam.